not sermons, but share stories from their lives. And today we're going to be hearing from someone many of us know and love, Matthew Ha. Matthew, can you come on up? Let's give him a hand. Yeah. He'll be sharing a cool story of something that's happened to him recently.
Cool. What's going on, church? Yeah. Okay, the thing about public speaking is you think you're good, but then when you talk to like a new crowd, I like get really nervous, but whatever. So, I don't know if you guys know me, but I am one of the leaders of Rosin Small Group. Where's my Rosin Small Group people? Yeah. Okay, a little closer. Wait, can y'all hear me like this, or is this better? That's better? Okay. So, we've been really blessed with Rosin Small Group because we had, like, you know, one of the biggest groups that, like, had, like, 20-plus people meeting every week. And, you know, this year we've seen us step into a new phase where we multiplied our group, and we have two, like, Rosin 1, Rosin 2 groups. But something that personally affected me while leading, because this is my first time leading a small group, was, so to kind of backtrack, so last November, basically, a complete stranger reached out to me. He used to intern at a place where I interned 4 years ago. It was a nonprofit in LA, and he was connected by one of his old supervisors that I live in DC and I work in like international affairs, and I'd be a good networking contact. So he hit me up. We like, you know, had an informational interview, and like, you know, he seemed like a nice guy. But then at the end of our call, I was like, hey man, if you're ever in DC, like, let me know. We can like hang out. He's like, okay. And then usually that's like a standing offer that you don't take. But he called me like maybe like 3 hours later, and he's like, hey man, I just booked my tickets to DC. I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay. And I was like, cool. And then basically it was customary for like, so this nonprofit was like we're like very close, like even like after like years of like, you know, we like had like intern classes and stuff like that. So like he basically asked if he could stay with me because he's like, I don't have anywhere else to stay. And I was like, like, you know, 3 nights, a complete stranger in my own apartment. I was like, you know what? Why not? So I did it once before, and I was like, it's not bad. Maybe I should be an Airbnb host eventually. So he came around, like, late November. I think it was the week after Thanksgiving he came. And on the first night he was here, we actually had Rosin Small Group. And I told him, hey man, like, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but, like, you're more than welcome to come. And he kind of flat out told me, he's like, I'm actually, like, not a Christian, and I actually really don't like it. And I was like, oh, boy. I was like, he's still down to come, and he was like, yeah, I have nothing else better to do, so I'll come. So he came, and, you know, I was, like, trying to, like, because I was, like, trying to get to know him a little bit better, too, and, like, you know, trying to be friends. Like, granted, like, he landed, like, an hour before a small group meeting, and he came. I met him at the Fashion Center Mall because I live right around here. We went to Roslyn, too, for small group. And, like, the whole time I kind of sat away from him just because I was, like, I want to see him, like, mingle with other people and see what happens. Study went on, and then so we got into small groups and we started praying. And for some reason, like, he was open to sharing, and like, because the thing is, he came to DC to, you know, like, network, interview for jobs. And a lot was on his heart because he really wanted to stay here. Because to give a little backstory, he's from Singapore and he needed a visa extension to stay here and like work here. He was in like a relationship and like wanted that to work out and like, you know, all that like millennial stuff. But so basically, at the end of our small group, he and I got a bite to eat, and then he kind of said, like, oh, by the way, last week I went to my first church service with my girlfriend. I was like, oh, interesting. And he was like, yeah, it was kind of weird because it was a mega church, and he watched it on the TV screen the whole time. He's like, I didn't like it. I was like, all right, what'd you think of small group? And he was like, it was actually pretty cool. And so the first thing he said was he never felt that welcomed by a group of Christians before. And I was like, well, I was in small group. We're doing a good job. Yeah, we're doing a great job. But apart from that, we just kind of, like, talked for most of the night just about, like, I shared bits about how I became a Christian and also, like, you know, what I sort of, you know, appreciate about the church and, like, you know, it's a big step forward, and had a nice conversation, but it kind of ended at that. And so he stayed here for 2 more days and kind of showed him around and, like, you know, helped him, like, connect with, like, jobs and stuff, but it kind of turned out fruitless. He texted me. So, like, it's been, like, 2 months since he stayed here. We kept in touch, like, here and there. Like, we liked each other's, like, posts on, like, Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. And he would, like, he's also a big soccer fan like I am, so we, like, messaged about that. But he texted me, like, last week sometime, just being like, hey, it's my last day in the States, and I appreciate what you did. Somewhat discouraged by the lack of a job search, like, panning out, but I'm leaving this all in God's hands because I'm getting baptized. So I still don't know the full story yet. I'm pretty sure our small group meeting wasn't the reason why he committed to Christ. It was probably like one of many reasons, but I do remember after he left, with Roslyn, I think with the leaders as well, and then just like within our group, I did ask to pray for Gerald because that's his name. So he, like when he left, I could tell there was a lot of stress on his heart because he really like, everything was about getting a job. And I was like, you know, a lot of us like, you know, like seniors in college probably like feel that a lot right now too. Not to put any pressure on you guys. But the thing is, it's like, it's amazing how he turned all of this around and sort of, you know, he seems so at ease. I mean, I'm planning on calling him soon. Like, he's back in Singapore now, but I just kind of want to know, like, the full story of why he did. So I think this was really encouraging for me because we did pray about it, and I think it's just a glimpse of God's glory because I think it's one thing to commit to Christ, you know, to get baptized, but, you know, I think as Christians, we need to, reclaim our faith every day and, like, you know, just promise him, like, you know, I give my life to you, and I think that's what I'm praying for now. And, you know, as a church, we should be a praying community. So I think not just for my friend, but, you know, we have these prayer cards. We're going to dedicate ourselves to praying for two more people each day. I mean, like, I think that's something we need to keep pursuing. So, I mean, like, my only, like, sort of takeaway point is come to the watch this Thursday and, like, pray with your small groups, pray on your own, pray with small communities, like, come out Sunday mornings at 8 to pray with us. But, yeah, it's just really incredible, and I was so encouraged to hear this. And I hope you guys are encouraged by it as well. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Matt. Yeah, can we just take a moment to pray? And, you know, I think what's so great about Matt's story is that, he's just talking to him about what he knows of Christ, and the small group is talking to him, this person, about what they know of Christ and just living out and just being open, not necessarily being super erudite or this or that, but just being open and not close-fisted or unnecessarily close-fisted with what we have. And so let's pray. Just we can pray for people around us. Maybe pray for the people that you put on your card. Just take a moment, just in your own heart. The Lord is working in his own ways, in his perfect ways, and they are awesome ways. We trust that. They're awesome ways, and we're just participating in that. Let's pray. Let's take a moment, and I'll just wrap us up in a second. Father God, we thank you for your work all around us, the fruit that you are making grow all around. And we're so glad to be part of that with you. And Lord, we're praying for people close to us, friends, colleagues, family. And we're praying for them that they would have faith to experience you and understand you, Lord. And God, we're also praying for ourselves that you continually make us just open. Open, Lord, with them, with what you have given to us. Make us really generous-hearted people, just as you want. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please welcome Pastor Jonathan as he speaks to us from the Gospel of John.
Oh. Well, good morning. It's always fun to be here. Actually, to completely piggyback off of everything, I just want to say God answers prayer when we pray. And so I am really excited about what we're going to see happen as we as a church really get serious about praying for those around us. I am really believing that this is the first of many, many stories that we're going to begin to hear, not because we're so amazing, but because God is. And we're asking him to intercede. And so just do it. Let's get it together and see what God can do. But anyway, as most of you may know, I'm Jonathan. My wife, Erica, runs the kids, and we have 5 kids. All the time, everywhere we go, even many of you ask us all kinds of questions about what it's like to have 5 kids. And it's great. It's actually funny. Is in malls sometimes it's like people's filters go away, and people have said some of the rudest things to us I've ever received because we have five kids, and I'm like, they're not your kids. Like, they're not doing anything to you, but just the fact that we have five kids apparently is offensive to them. But all kinds of things happen, and I get made fun of all the time at the bus stop because when I go to pick up my kids from the bus stop and they're going away, I'm constantly counting, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're like, you have to count your kids. And I'm like, you try having five kids and keeping track of them without counting. I'm like, it's not really possible. And when we count them, we're not even like, it's my which kid. If you don't get to five, that's when you start concerned and being like, wait, which kid am I missing? Until then, you don't. But also at the bus stop, one thing I tell people that I never thought I would be as a parent or that I would feel like as a parent is I feel like I'm like a cattle herder or something. Like, you're just constantly, like, trying to get your kids to go the way you want to go, but it's almost like herding, like, cats, you know? Nobody wants to go the same direction, but you all need to go there. You're trying to watch for cars, and I'm constantly joking with people, like, all I need is, like, you know, some whip like you have for cattle to be like, all right, this way, you know, like, to try and corral them. Because before I would try to, like, you know, go in front of them and lead them home or something, but then I would look back and they're everywhere. I'm like, okay, this does not work. Like, I have got to be back screaming at them, yelling at them, kind of, you know, because always one of them is way back. And for me, it's usually my youngest daughter, Claire. She's like, we could be going on a walk, and she'll be like 300 feet back, just like, and I'm like, you can't, like, you got to come, you know, got to catch up, you know? So going in front of them has never worked. Somebody has to be behind the last kid and then kind of yelling at the ones who are too far away so we can get there. And so leading them has been a difficulty. And today I want us to take a look at how does Jesus lead us? All right, how does Jesus lead us and what is his approach? And so we're going to take a look in John 10. And we're continuing our series through John. And so we're going to look at John 10. And Jesus is giving an example here. So I'm just going to start reading this. For us here. This is from John 10. Jesus speaking, and he says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And we'll pause there. All right, what's going on here is this. First of all, we have to understand kind of one thing. Shepherds would be something that the people of Israel, who Jesus is talking to, intimately understood. There were shepherds all the time, all over the place. This is a concept that they would understand. Even if they had never been a shepherd themselves, it's something that would be familiar to them. So Jesus is using a story, a metaphor, for them to understand what he's trying to explain. Okay, so they would get this, and they understood how shepherds work in their culture. Also, over the course of the prophets, the leaders of Israel were often compared to shepherds, as in God would say, I've given you shepherds to take care of my flock, my people. So when Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd, they understand that it's not just, you know, he's talking about somebody out there watching sheep. There's more to it here. They understand. Even if they don't completely understand what he's saying, they get that there's layers here of, oh, you're kind of saying you're the leader here. Like, this is something different that's going on. And so Jesus here is saying, he says some profound things here of what kind of leader he is. Right? He says, I'm the good shepherd. And by that, he's saying a lot of things. He's saying, I'm the one, you know, the shepherd is the one who takes the sheep to where their food is. You know, so he's their provider. The shepherd is the one who protects them from the wolves and the elements and whatever's going on. He's the one who's protecting them. He's the one who's guiding them to the places that they would go. And so Jesus is saying a lot of these things. He's saying, by me being the good shepherd, I am the one who's providing. I am the one who's taking care of you. I am the one who's looking out for you. I'm the one who's protecting you. So he's saying these kinds of statements for them to get, saying, that is me. That is who I am. And Jesus actually makes it very clear because he says, look, I'm the good shepherd because unlike a hired hand, if trouble comes, I stay. Actually, I don't just stay. I willingly give my life so that my sheep might have life, even though I don't. And we know that this is all fulfilled later when Jesus actually dies on the cross, bearing the guilt for our and the punishment for our sin so that we might have eternal life. And that's what it says here. He is the good shepherd, and that is who he is. And he's amazing. And so that is who Jesus is declaring himself to be. He is the good shepherd. But what's interesting to me here is how he says in this passage that he leads, and thereby we as his sheep would follow. See, what's interesting to note is, and you might not understand this, but for like Palestinian Jewish time period of like shepherds and of raising sheep and all of that, they didn't drive their sheep places. You know, like I was talking about my kids with the whip and all of that. Like, they didn't stand behind them and cajole them or have like a sheepdog to bark at them to try and get them to where they would go. All they used to do as shepherds is this. They would call them. Actually, even said they would call them by name. As shepherds, there was an intimate connection with their sheep where they would literally give sheep names, and this was a normal thing for them to do this, and their sheep would literally know the voice of their shepherd. So when he says here, I speak to my sheep and they hear me and they follow, this is literally what is happening. The shepherd goes in front of the sheep and calls, like, come here, sheep. And they start following. They come because they recognize the voice of their shepherd, and so they follow. And that is what happens. I've actually heard that sometimes when, like, you know, multiple flocks with multiple shepherds would gather, like, at the same well, and they'd all be there together, and all the sheep would mingle. They'd all get mixed up, and they'd all be together. The different shepherds would start walking in different directions when it was time to go and just be calling their sheep, and all the right sheep would go to all the right places. Simply because they knew the voice of their shepherd. I love this picture because this is not a picture of our God being a taskmaster with a whip in his hand, driving us forward, being like, you stupid sheep, why can't you ever go where I want you to go? No, this is a picture of a loving, good shepherd, a good God who loves us so much that he simply calls to us and expects us to follow. Hopes for us to follow, that he might lead us where he wants us to go. He leads us by calling us, by speaking to us, by telling us the way we should go. So my question for us today is this. Do you recognize the voice of your shepherd? Are you hearing his call? Are you hearing when he speaks to you and calls you by name and says, this is what I have for you? Do you hear that? I've been a pastor for well over a decade now, and one of the most common things that I've heard and questions I have received from believers is often, how do I know I hear God? What does he sound like? How do I know if this is really God? The alarming thing of this question to me is this. If we take this at face value of how Jesus, what he says, of who he is, and how he wants to lead, then my question is, if we can't hear God, how are we following him? If he's a God who leads by calling and speaking and just asking us to come with him instead of forcing us and cajoling us and driving us, then if we can't hear his voice, if we can't recognize it when he speaks to us, then I really have to question whether we're actually following him. See, I think sometimes, especially in the Western church, we've gotten something mixed up. And that is that what it means to follow God is not the same thing as being a good Christian. See, being a good Christian means you follow a bunch of rules that somebody told you it meant to be a good Christian. And depending on where you live or the kind of people you were or how you were raised, being a good Christian can change from place to place. Not usually drastically, but it can. But following Jesus is different than that. Following Jesus means that you become more like him. It means that you listen to his voice and he leads you. He says, come this way, follow me. And you find yourself in situations, in places, and as a different person than you were before. Like your insides are actually different because you followed God. And through the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you have become new. You've become different as you followed Jesus. So you can put on a good act and be a good Christian, trying to be a good Christian, but your insides never change. That's not following Jesus. That's not becoming like Jesus. Also, being a good Christian, there's nothing in there where, you know, if God asked you to do something crazy and like get up and move your whole life overseas or something like that, you're never going to find that being a good Christian. There's no rule that says you have to do that. So you can just say, well, I'm being a good Christian. That's not really for me. Well, what if God's asking you to do that and you're not hearing him? See, to follow Jesus, we have to be able to hear his voice. You have to be able to recognize it when he calls. And if you don't feel like you're there, then who are you following? Or what are you following? Now, I don't want to do this in like, I don't want you to feel guilty. If you're sitting here going like, wow, I have no idea what he's talking about, that's okay. Right? I mean, the first way of changing is always recognizing where we have an issue. There's lots of ways that we begin to hear from God. I mean, God speaks to us through the Bible, right? Now, I say that people are like, okay, yeah, I read the Bible. Okay, now, if you're somebody who you actually read the Bible, I mean, let's say you actually read it, so I don't mean like you read it once last year, okay? I'm not, yeah, you read it, you know, but if you read one sentence, then you're giving a hard time for God to really speak to you through the Bible, okay? But not just read it, because I've read the Bible before as a textbook. I've been in Bible classes and all of that, and I've read it, and when I read it like it's a textbook, it's really hard for me to hear anything God's trying to tell me. Because I'm looking for the answers, or I'm looking for something else, or I'm just checked out. You know, I'm just reading it, and sometimes I've got through reading it, and I get to the end, and I'm like, I don't know anything I just read. Like, that whole chapter is, like, it's gone. Like, I don't, that's not reading to hear from God. Like, it's not bad. And you know what? I'm actually surprised sometimes when God brings something to mind later that I read when I didn't remember. God can do that, okay? But when we're talking about really trying to hear from God, we're talking about reading and coming to the scriptures and as we do, saying, God, would you speak to me through your word today? And having our hearts and our eyes and our ears open to what God might be trying to speak to us through his word. God can speak to us through nature. I don't know how many times I've heard other people, or even myself, you're out on a walk or just out somewhere, and something happens, and you can just hear God speaking to you. God can speak to us through friends and family and people around us. He can use them to speak to us. I've had times where I heard God speaking to me through a movie. No, not a Christian movie, just a movie. And you're like, wow, God's doing something in my heart right now. There are so many ways that God can speak to you. But you have to be able to recognize his voice when he calls. Do you? Do we? Do you recognize him? Do you know, oh, that's God? I remember, I grew up, I was always in church. I was always in, I was in Bible school classes since I was in fourth grade. So I was very much steeped in Christianity and all that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking people had told me oh, that was very insightful even as a kid. And I kind of grew up thinking I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty good. But I remember I didn't really know what God sounded like. I really had no idea. I was I don't really feel like I hear God. But I thought I was pretty smart. And then I got to college and somebody was doing a little kind of helping me try to process this. It's I don't really feel like I hear God and all this stuff. And as they were processing with me, they're like, no, you know that voice in your head that's telling you really insightful things? That's not you, that's God. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I was like, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I was like, that, things that I wouldn't really know on my own, insights, oh, well, I think this is what you might be feeling. I had no idea, but that was God. And I just had no paradigm for it. And so I didn't understand that that was God. And when people began to tell me that, I began to oh, wait a minute. That's what God sounds like for me. And I began to understand that and be like, oh. And I began to say, okay. And you always test a voice in your head versus scripture, okay? So if God tells you to do something really bad that you think is God and it doesn't line up to scripture, it's not God, all right? That's the baseline here. Always is. Because God's spirit is never going to tell you something that doesn't line up with what he's already written in his word, okay? But as I began to hear God and understand that that was God, all of a sudden, my life changed. Literally, till that point, I was doing try to be a good Christian. And I was doing okay. But let's be honest, without the power of God, without really trying to receive God's fullness and spirit in your life and become new and become like him, none of us can really do a good job at being a good Christian. We can make it look like it. But in our hearts, we know we're not cutting it. And so all of a sudden, as I began to hear God's voice more clearly, I was like, oh, wow, you're asking me to do this thing or that thing. And all of a sudden, it began to stretch me and push me. And I began to feel even and hear even the conviction of the Holy Spirit more clearly, where I realized, man, I got to change. And I began to actually, I was in college, and I had been a believer pretty much all my life. And I think in that time period, when somebody began to explain that to me, I began to realize I needed to hear God, was when I really began to follow Jesus. Not just be a good Christian, but to truly follow him. Because I started to know what he sounded like when he called me, and I would recognize his voice. Now, I'm not perfect at this. None of us is perfect at this. We can get this wrong time and time again. But this is something we grow in as we recognize his voice and say, oh, that's him. Okay? If you think about it, even friends and families that you know, the more time you spend with them, the better you are able to recognize their voice, even in a crowd. It's kind of funny right now. Two of my closest aged kids, Chloe and William, they're boy and girl, but often if we're not looking at them, their voices sound so similar that we even play a game sometimes in the car where they're in the back seat and they'll be like, guess which one of us it is? And I'm like, I don't know. It's hard. But as we keep listening to them even, it's easier to distinguish which is which. Okay, and the same thing is true for us. The more that you begin to practice hearing from God and acknowledging this was God, so you have a moment when you know, no, that was God, think about it, dwell on it, meditate on it, figure out what did he sound like, what did it look like, not so that it's going to be the same every time, but that you have a better chance to recognize his voice again. Because this is of utmost importance. And I actually want to just read this some of the Jews continue to disbelieve God. This is in the same passage. It just says, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And this is verse 25. Jesus says, I did tell you, but you did not believe me. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, Jesus' sheep know his voice and they follow him. That's what it means to be a sheep. We know his voice and we follow him. This is of utmost importance. I think one of the main reasons that we have a hard time with this is very rarely do we make time to hear from God. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest here. I mean, I like to pray, but I don't pray enough. I know that. I mean, even people I know who are like, I'm like, wow, you are so amazing at prayer. They said I don't pray enough. But even when I pray, and most people I know who pray, what our prayers look like is we give a long list of something to God. Here's everything, God, I need you to know. Here's, God, everything that's on my heart, even if it's not for us, even if it's for somebody else, and we're pouring our heart out in intercessory prayer for somebody, and we're saying, God, would you please do this? Would you please help this friend who's sick, or this person who doesn't know Christ, or these people who are marginalized? And that's all wonderful prayer. But when was the last time we echoed like Samuel's prayer and said, speak, God, for your servant is listening, and just sat? As I was preparing this message, I was like, I can't remember the last time I said that prayer. And then just allowed for time. And if you're like me at all, if you give yourself some moment of silence, okay, I'm going to listen to God, what immediately happens is I think of a billion other things. Like, God is not what speaks to me in that first bit. You know, you're sitting here and all you're thinking of is the movie I just watched and how cool it was, or the chores I still have to do, or what's coming up tomorrow. You know what? That's okay. I once heard it described this way, that hearing from God and practicing stillness from God is a lot like if you have a pool of water and you chuck a rock in it, it's all moving everywhere. You can't see reflections or anything. There's all these ripples and everything because the rock did it. But you know what? If you wait long enough, it stills. And stillness comes. See, if we're not practicing setting aside time to just hear from God, then even when we do say, I'm going to try this, and you give it 2 minutes, it's very hard to hear him. Now, thankfully, God, in his infinite love and mercy, doesn't always wait for us to be in the right posture and speaks to us anyway so that we hear him. I've told people, sometimes I'm such a stubborn person that I feel like God has to smack me upside the face and then I can hear him. Like, oh, okay, now I can listen. But let's not be those people. Let's be people who really follow God by listening to his voice, who come even daily and make time to say, God, speak to me because I'm listening. Why? Because I want to hear what you have to say. Because I want to be able to follow you into everything you're asking me. I believe that Jesus, that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they are speaking to each of you every day, that they have things for you every day, if you have ears to hear. Because he loves you. He lays down his life for you. He's the good shepherd. He knows you by name. He knows everything there is to know about you, and he loves you, and he wants to be an intimate relationship with you. And for that relationship to be as close as it can be, he wants to talk back. He wants to pour in. He wants to communicate. And I believe he has that for each and every one of us. But we have to hear. We have to recognize his voice. And we also have to follow. The other piece of this is, if God asks you to do something, if he's leading you somewhere, and you don't go, in the shepherd metaphor here, if he's leading the flock, but you refuse to follow, eventually you're out of hearing distance. Now, thankfully, with God, we're never too far from him. But eventually, it's like we're tuning our ears out, going, I don't want to hear that, because I don't want to do that. Let's not be those kind of sheep. Let's hear him. Let's make space to hear him. Let's recognize his voice. I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at on this kind of level of this, let's work on it together. Let's ask God to change our hearts and open our ears to hear him. Don't think it's okay if you're like, don't stay, right? It's okay to be wherever you are. That's totally fine. But don't stay where you are if you're saying, I don't hear God. Talk to a friend. Talk to a pastor, a staff person. Talk to your small group, whomever you need to begin to say, can you help me hear God better? Because if you're not hearing God, how are you following him? Let's pray. God, I just praise you for who you are. I praise you that you are a good shepherd.